We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
And it is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location, Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan, toyotaofhollywood.com.
All right, Woody, thank you so much. Alex Dono back from a great vacation, well-deserved. Locked on Canes ACC and Canes podcast does a great job. We'll be up at the ACC meetings on Tuesday where the Miami Hurricanes will be up there, Mario Cristobal. And help me out here. Beck, Maui Noah, who else will be up there?
Ooh, I was just looking at the list the other day. I want to say Wesley Bissaint, and then, are we missing?
Bain's got to be up
there. No. Bain is not going because he has another – he had a prior commitment. That's the guy you would want to send, but he has a legitimate reason for not being able to go.
Look at you. Well, listen, for you – expectations don't change this year. I know Cam Ward's gone and everybody's, Cam Ward's gone. Carson Beck, I think Carson Beck's got a chip on his shoulder. And I know he missed spring and I know the breakup with the girl. I think he's all about business and kicking ass. That guy's been through. He's been in the hot seat, man. Georgia is a hot seat. I can't wait to see what he looks like.
Yeah, and this is going to be the first time I'm going to meet him and hopefully talk to him in person. It's going to be at the ACC meetings next week when I'm out there. But as far as, you know, what the buzz has been on Beck, you know, you mentioned was not cleared to throw during spring football. You know, I did watch him practice. I mean, as much as you can practice as a quarterback without throwing, he was out there doing certain drills and staying active with his teammates. But yeah, since at some point, I think late April, early May, he has been out there throwing. And the feedback has been good, Joe. I mean, the buzz that, you know, you hear coming from people that have actually, you know, watched him out there and taken in some of these super secret offseason workouts is that the arm looks good and that he doesn't have any sort of physical limitations and that he's, Joe, been kind of going through the progressions these last couple of months where they sort of started him off slow. You know, he wasn't necessarily pulling out the full fastball and throwing deep stuff right away, but he's eased himself into that and he's cleared every benchmark. So you don't worry about the physical stuff with him. And like you mentioned, in terms of all the rest of it, the intangibles that come with that quarterback position, this is a guy who has a 24-3 record as a starting quarterback at Georgia, has played in some of the biggest games, some of the biggest rivalries in a marquee SEC program. The stage is not going to be too big for Carson Beck here. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Hey, yeah. So positions you feel better about this year than last year? In general, offensive line, better this year with what they have at starting five plus a couple of guys for added depth?
Yeah, just as good, if not better. I mean, obviously the notable loss from last year was Jalen Rivers, you know, who was just an absolute stalwart for, you know, what, the previous four seasons on that O-line. But, you know, replacing him full-time is Markell Bell, who's just, he's a behemoth, Joe, and he got a lot of valuable experience last year at left tackle. And I know the staff feels really good about him at left tackle. So, you know, he might end up being just as good as Jalen was and maybe some even higher upside for the future of his career. You know, we feel pretty good about the new center, James Brockermeyer, who transferred in from TCU. I think they like him a lot. And then, yeah, outside of that, you know, you've got, you know, Ryan Rodriguez and Matthew McCoy competing for the left guard spot, which is kind of similar to where we were last year, and that spot ended up performing very well. And then on the right side of the O-line, Joe, you're in tremendous shape with Inez Cooper and CeCe Mauinoa. Mauinoa is probably going to be a first-round pick coming up, so you feel great about the offensive line. In terms of, you know, position groups I think are going to be better than last year, I would think the defensive secondary has got to be better last year.
Yeah,
it's got to be. I mean, you've got O.J. Frederic back, who was, you know, the best corner you had last year as a true freshman. He's going to be here for his second year. You bring in Xavier Lucas from Wisconsin, who you've created all this controversy, and I think he's going to be worth it because they like him a lot on the field. I think a guy who's going to be kind of a sleeper in that secondary, who everyone feels really good about, sort of low-key, is Zechariah Poyser, Joe, the safety who they brought in from Jacksonville State. I think they really expect him to perform this year, so I'll take that as a good sign. I like some of the, you know, the additions that they made at linebacker. I think the player that they brought in from Rutgers, Mohamed Touré, you know, he missed the entire season last year with a torn ACL, but physically it seems like he's fine. He's completely back on track, and he's just a game changing type of player, Joe. Disruptor, sideline to sideline, you know, it's good at forcing turnovers and making big tackles and tackles for loss. You know, he was really good, you know, with Corey Heatherman, who's now Miami's defensive coordinator. That was his linebackers coach a couple of years ago at Rutgers, last time he got through a healthy season. So I think the linebacker group could be a little bit better than last year. And so, you know, if you could do that, if you could bring your linebacker group and your defensive secondary up to a higher standard than it was a year ago, I've got to think that's going to make your defense dramatically better, because we all know the defense was the Achilles heel last year.
Hey, so let's talk about wide receiver, man. You lost everybody. Well, you lost all your top receivers. So who takes over for Restrepo and George to start with? Where do we go from there?
Yeah, I think the stat is at least five, if not six of, I think like maybe six out of Miami's seven top pass catchers were lost from last year.
So you're
replacing almost all of your production in the passing game, including tight end with Elijah Arroyo, you know, going to the NFL. I think I'll mention a couple of guys. You ask about wide receivers. I mean, in the slot, I think it's going to be a committee. I don't think you necessarily replace Xavier Restrepo with one guy, but I think Miami's got a few options there. Tony Johnson, who transferred in from Cincinnati, was a pretty reliable slot receiver for the last couple of years. I've got to think Malachi Toney is going to play quite a bit. You know, I know you're very high on him, as I am. He's a true freshman, but he was a consistent performer in spring football, and he performed very well in the spring game. It seems to me like Malachi Toney, even if he doesn't start his first season, I think he's going to get on the field a lot. You've got Ray Joseph at the slot entering his third year. You know, opportunities were scarce for him because he was playing behind Restrepo for the last couple of seasons, but he's going to get more opportunities this year. And in terms of, you know, guys out wide, JoJo Trader looks like he's ready to really take the next step. You know, didn't play a lot last year. I think he was banged up a little bit last year. And then also, of course, was playing behind so many established receivers. He got a big opportunity in the bowl game, and he played very well there. So I think Trader's going to be a guy they're going to look to step up. You know, someone who's getting rave reviews, and I had a chance to meet this player during spring football. He's extremely mature and a leader in that room, is C.J. Daniels, who transferred over from LSU. He's a six-year senior, and he acts like it. He carries himself like it. He's also got some good ability on the field. And so, and then a tight end, I've got to mention Elijah Lofton has had, he's got to have every opportunity to really replace a lot of that production from Elijah Arroyo. And they also like the tight end who transferred over from Tulane, Alex Bowman, is someone I think has kind of outperformed the staff's expectations so far in spring football and offseason workouts. So it's going to be a lot of new faces, and they've got to get on the same page with Carson Beck really quickly.
I'd really like to see a big pass rush without blitzing all the time. And I'm really curious to see how this group plays. I think Reuben Bain is Reuben Bain and will be fine. But I'm curious to see, you probably are too, with the rest of this group, where are you getting your pressure from? Who else steps up? Mezzador, Hayden Lowe, Blunt. I mean, there's some guys in there. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, and as far as the interior guys go, getting pressure from there as well, I think we should all be excited about Justin Scott and the potential that he's going to bring. I think he's going to play a lot this year, if not start. You know, those who remember Scott was Miami's five-star, one of Miami's five-star recruits from the class of 2024, who's, you know, played a little bit as a freshman last year, but I think he's going to play a lot more this year. And then, you know, all the names you mentioned, Joe, off the edge are definitely guys they are expecting to create consistent pressure. Another one that I'll add, who, you know, I know he didn't get on the field a whole lot last year because he was just a little bit light as a true freshman, but Marquise Lightfoot, I keep hearing about how well he's been performing. So, you know, Lightfoot, who again was a little small coming out of high school last year, but he was a five-star recruit. So the ability is there. It's just been about, I think, putting more meat on the bones consistently for him.
Yeah.
And so Lightfoot is another one. I keep hearing how well he's doing. So he could end up being another one who gets a lot of burn from the edge.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall. Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
All right, ACC questions besides Clemson, and they should, every year should be favored. What they did without transfer portal players last year, coming back and winning the ACC was really impressive. So who's the teams you like? If not Miami, who makes a run for an ACC championship?
Yeah, I mean, the pretty clear picks for me, like you said, outside of Clemson and Miami, who are the top two according to the odds makers, I'm pretty high on Louisville this year, Joe. You know, it's not a team without warts, you know, because Louisville is always hard to kind of handicap because they use the transfer portal. People think Miami uses the transfer portal a lot. Louisville has so much roster turnover every single year, it's hard to know what you're going to get. But they've got a coach who's a quarterback whisperer, and they've got another talented one in Miller Moss coming in this year. People kind of expect Jeff Brohm to work some magic with him. He's got a lot of talent. And they've got one of the best running back duos in the entire country with Isaac Brown leading that charge. So, yeah. They had some similar problems to Miami last year, and their defense was really inconsistent. You remember Miami scored like 100 points against Louisville in a shootout last year, although Miami did that to a lot of different teams. But
yeah.
I think Louisville's going to be in there. That's a team that can compete. And SMU, you know, they did lose some important players from last year, but they still have their quarterback who burst onto the scene last year in Kevin Jennings, who's going to have his first full year as a starter. And, you know, they do have a little bit of a tougher schedule, SMU, than they had last year, you know, which could hurt them a little bit. But I don't see any reason why SMU won't compete for an ACC championship again. Miami does play them in Dallas this year, so we're going to get that head-to-head Rhett Lashley versus Mario Cristobal opportunity. And so those are the main two. But another one, I'm never sleeping on Georgia Tech, Joe, because I think – you know, Georgia Tech is, you
know,
Miami
why.
Knows this. You know, we've lost to them the last couple of years, but I always feel like Georgia Tech, I don't think they have much roster depth necessarily, but Brent Key, their head coach, game plans so well. They always seem to be ready for every team they play. I mean, heck, they took Georgia to 8 overtimes last year.
Yeah.
They almost pulled off an upset against UGA. They've got their quarterback, Haynes King, who's got to be like 25 by now, but somehow he's got another year of eligibility. So Georgia Tech is kind of the fifth one that I would put in there that would maybe have a chance to contend.
All right, I'll leave you with this one. Carson Beck's a starter. Who ends up being the backup? I know a lot of people are hoping Luke Nickell would come in and tear it up and make such great improvement. He was going to be the guy because at some point it would be nice to have a guy you recruit out of high school be a starter. Emory Williams, who do you think gets a backup job?
I think Emory Williams gets it. Now, like you, Joe, there were plenty of times spring football, especially the last couple of weeks, because, you know, Luke was an early enrollee, true freshman. So I think eventually the game started to slow down for him a little bit. He looked really good by the end of spring ball. But I think they really want a redshirt Luke Nickell for obvious reasons. And, of course, when you talk about a backup, right, for however often – you know, hopefully you don't need your backup very much this year outside of mop-up duty, right? But I think Emory Williams is the guy based on his experience. This will be his, you know, third year at Miami. I think Emery's going to be the guy they're going to look at to be that true backup quarterback. But, you know, God forbid you would need to actually use a second quarterback for, you know, multiple games this year. Yeah. I could see a scenario where Luke maybe ends up being the guy who's got more upside to win you games. But in terms of, like, you know, your understudy, I think Emery Williams is going to be the backup quarterback this year.
You know what hurt the quarterback position the most last year? Cam Ward had to finish out every game to either win or come back and win or barely lose in a last drive. Backup quarterbacks got no playing time at all last year for the most part, right?
Point.
Never in those games.
Yeah.
And I just thought it really affected the growth of Emery Williams, who a lot of Canes fans have already given up on because of what happened in the bowl game. But, yeah, we need to – I just think you keep recruiting these guys. One of them's got to start at some point. One of them's got to be your guy, and you see enough to say that's our guy, and here we go. Anyway, hey, great stuff today as always, man. Really appreciate you coming on with us, Donald. Always great having you. Where'd you go on that vacation, if you don't mind me getting into your business?
Oh, Joe, I went everywhere. I'm so broke. It's not even funny. We went, you know, we started off in France. I think I might have even been there for a couple days when you were still there. So I'm sorry I didn't find you, Joe. But we started
don't
off.
Don't worry, my wife did
Paris.
A number on that credit card herself. She just doesn't want to hear about.
Doesn't want to hear about budget or slow down.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were in Paris to start out. We were gone for like 41 days, Joe. Most of it we were in Italy.
Wow.
I've got family in northern Italy, so we had a place to stay for part of the trip, which helped. It helped the credit card bills a little bit. But yeah, we were outside of, you know, Paris. We were in Milan. We were in Venice. We were in Bologna. We went over to, you know, couple of like small towns.
Travel channel here. Jesus.
Oh, all over. We went over to Greece, to Crete for about a week, which was interesting. A lot of history over there.
Did you get after the food? Tell me you didn't hold back, like there was a new dessert you didn't go, nah, I'm not going to. You got after it, right? Didn't you?
I stepped on the scale when I came back home and I nearly broke it. I think I gained like 8 pounds in 40 days, Joe. It was bad. I was so much pasta, so much bread. And I know a lot of people, and it's true, when you're over in Europe, you walk a lot, right? So a lot of people say, hey, don't worry about it. You're not going to gain weight because you're walking so much. I showed them, Joe, because I ate so much that the walking did not compensate very much.
Yeah, whatever you were burning on steps, it just can't keep up with that great food. I got you, man. Hey, Donald, thank you, man. Appreciate it. I'm glad you had a good vacation. Obviously, it's good for the marriage. Let's be honest. Very good for the marriage. You got to take one for the team. It was great work by you.
It's true, Joe. Thank you so much for having me.
All right, Alex Donald joining us. Talk a little bit about the Canes. He's all jacked up and ready to go. We did a little breakdown. My God, did we do a little breakdown. Hey, I want to talk to you about Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage. Oh, my gosh, man. Right now you're looking for a mortgage. You want to get a mortgage. Let's be honest. You want it fast. You want to get the best rates, and you want to get approved quickly, and that's what Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage does like nobody's business. First-time home buyers, how nice would it be for you to get back in the game instead of always losing out because you didn't get qualified and found a place and going, nah, we don't want first-time home buyers. How about getting a pre-approved with Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage with the best rates so the next time you find something you like, you're in. You got it. Fixed rates, always going to get the best rates. Self-employed, been declined by the banks. Michael Kotze's got a great program for you. Go to Google Reviews on the web, Choice Mortgage Reviews. People are saying a lot of nice things about him. See, Michael Kotze's been around for, 35, 36 years now. He has no life. The guy's always working, and that's true. 7 days a week, call or text him. You can get a hold of this man, and he'll make it happen. 561-441-2730. There's a reason. He's been doing it and doing it well down here in South Florida for so long. 561-441-2730, MLS 166-254. Rates and terms subject to change. Either without notice, he's an equal housing lender.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.